This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
All right, Corey Smith of Pack Pride, our friend, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. You're about to come out here, my man. I appreciate your time. What is this? What has this been like for you at Pack Pride, all of the guys who otherwise might have been focused on spring football? Like, walk me through what this has looked like.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, a month ago, we're on the phone, you know, and we're talking right here. And I told you, I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot for you to talk about with me, you know, as far as NC State's concerned. And I didn't mean for that to be like a personal thing. But then all of a sudden, you know, here comes NC State and here comes this run. These last 3 weeks now, heading into the fourth week now at this point between the ACC tournament and then the last two weekends, it's been a wild, wild run. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of travel, a lot of, intense games for NC State. But, yeah, the last 2 weeks have been insane to watch, you know, just apart from the ACC tournament itself.
Corey Smith of Pack Pride is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Obviously, the run, it sort of came out of nowhere. I think you and I have talked all year about that this team was probably better than they were playing. And so the funny thing, I had this conversation yesterday with Chip Patterson. Like, if you had told me that, you know, State would have the season that we all kind of expected, which would have been, you know, upper half of the league, maybe challenging, like, they were not that far away from being an 11 or 12 win ACC team. And maybe even getting the double bye at the conference tournament. I mean, they could have been seated in the, you know, 7, 8, 9 in the bracket anyway, and I wouldn't have been completely blown out of the water that they are where they are. What flipped?
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports, sure. Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I think the biggest thing that flipped once you got into this point, I told a few people this, is the fact that, you know, I think more people really bought into their role. As cliche as that sounds, Muhammad Diarra going into this tournament had two double doubles all season long. He had five straight during the run between the ACC tournament and then the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Right,
and he's had 10-plus rebounds in 7 straight games up until the last game that he played, which they didn't really need him to rebound a ton. They were playing against a team that, you know, just was not shooting the ball particularly well. It was Michael O'Connell that ended up with double-digit rebounds in that last game. And then, again, go back to Michael O'Connell. All season long, he had three games with double-digit points. And he's had, you know, he had every single game in the ACC tournament, he had double-digit points. And then he's done the exact same thing during the NCAA tournament. It's just these guys that hadn't really, you know, established a role all season long, suddenly that flip just switched in the ACC tournament, and it hasn't stopped in the NCAA tournament. Now, obviously, it's going to be a much tougher matchup against Purdue than what they've seen because of Zach Edey and what they have down low, because they can, you know, hold off DJ Burns with a single man coverage as opposed to having to bring a doubler or even triple team, as we saw Oakland do. But, I mean, that's really what's changed with this team. It's just, you know, really buying into those roles, buying into the scout, and playing much more as a team and not just the DJ show with DJ Burns and DJ Horn.
Corey Smith from Pack is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I'm going to get to DJ Burns in a second, but I want to dig down a little bit on Mo Diarra, who's, I mean, is a good, really good player. I mean, a legitimately good player. And you can see as he's gotten more comfortable, his offensive game has grown. The rebounding, the shot blocks, all of that, the running the floor, the athleticism is all there. And I don't even want to minimize the fact that it's Ramadan and he's fasting sun up to sundown. And once again, there's a game that is going to be played now entirely within daylight hours locally, because it is roughly a 3:10 p.m. Start time here in Phoenix. So he's going to have to go an entire game. How, as far as you know, how have they managed the hydration, the fatigue, where he cannot take in fluids and calories during the day?
Yeah, well, just a shameless plug for my story that I wrote last week, but there's an entire breakdown of it. I spoke to Jesse McGinley, which is one of their trainers and helps with the nutrition side of things. And I've also spoken to Mo about this multiple times. I mean, basically what they did was he got up at 5:15 over in Dallas. They hit him with an IV to give him a full dose of all the liquids he could have for basically the entire day. That he needed for the entire day. And then he was just basically shoveling in food all morning up until the sun came up. And then it was, all about, basically limiting what he's doing throughout the day from an energy standpoint, saving that energy as much as humanly possible, and then trying to exert it all in that upcoming game. And you could see, I mean, the Sweet 16 game was one where, it was a 7:46 was when he was able to start eating and or drinking. Then that game tipped off at 6:10 over in Central Time. So, yeah, it was essentially a game where he was not going to be able to eat or drink the entire time. But, man, I mean, you could see once he stepped off the court, he had a double-double in that game. But, he's walking off the court with 29 seconds and looking like he's about to collapse. So it is a very, very grueling experience for him, and Ramadan doesn't end for those curious until April 9th. So, yeah, he'll continue to do that through this upcoming weekend and the entire NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but at least on the 8th, which Monday, is the national championship game, it starts later. So I believe it starts just about into he'll probably have an hour. Like, the first half, I think he won't be able to eat, right? And then the second half, he should be fine.
Well, that'll be easy at this point for what he's gone through.
Right. I mean, they have a whole spread for him at halftime in the locker room. Now to DJ Burns. And maybe we'll have to close on this here. But DJ had, let's just say, a rocky second season for the Wolfpack. But I'd say with about maybe a week or so left in the year, he started to turn a corner. And I thought there were games at the end of the season. State didn't necessarily win them, but he started to look a lot more like himself. Obviously, when they got to the ACC tournament, he became tremendous. He was the even though DJ Horn probably should have been the MOP. Was it Horn? I don't remember. I think it was Horn was the MOP in the ACC tournament. DJ Burns has been dynamite. What changed? What flipped for him?
I think, again, it was more of a, a trust from Kevin Keats and saying, hey, look, I mean, it nearly worked against Duke in that the last game at home. He had, he had his season high against Duke in that final game at home, but what Duke did that was different was, they said, we're not going to allow you to pass out of these. And they only shot 8 three-pointers in that entire game, whereas Duke made 8 of them. So it just felt like, all right, if he's cooking, if we've got him, actually producing down low, and then we can start passing out of these sets, then we'll have, it'll be a little bit easier. And one of the big reasons why I feel like he's been more productive, again, has been, a lot of other guys are just shooting the ball well. So it's not like he's forced to pass it off to DJ Horn or, Casey Morcell or Jaden Taylor to hope that, one of the three of them make the three. There's also Michael O'Connell. There's also, Mo Diarra on back cuts. There's also, Ben Middlebrooks on back cuts, like all these guys coming underneath, and you just got a bunch of different guys that you can pass the ball out to. So he looks like an infinitely better passer when really, you know, it's been there all season, but guys just weren't knocking down shots. So I do feel like it's a bigger confidence thing from DJ Burns. It's really him kind of buying into like, all right, I'm the guy, I can go produce. But then if he sees a double team, if they move coverage to kind of, you know, limit what another guy's going to do on the other side of the court, he can pass out of those, and he's confident in every single person that he's throwing the ball to. They'll knock down shots and they can finish, as opposed to him being relied upon to finish there.
Corey Smith, Pack Bride, safe trip out here, my man. Thank you for the time. You're not stuffing Geisinger into a carry-on, are you?
I wish I could, man. I wish I could. He's got a regular day job too, so
I know
he has to do that. But yeah, I'll be out there. It'll be me, Miles Mastercola, and then we've got Charlie Gribble, which is one of our interns, and then we'll have Spencer Thomas as well, a photographer for us. So we're finding a way to get everybody in there.
Awesome. Have a safe trip. We'll see you out here.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
You got it, Corey Smith from Pack Bride.